want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 483, recorded live on January 18th, 2017. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat With
Scott Burks
and Taz427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 63031-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on the Patreon logo on our webpage to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. All right, all right, all right. We got part of the band together tonight. The guys are here. Chad's back. That's awesome. Sarah is apparently on assignment as well. So, yes. So, you know,
is it like a new job? You can't like take a sick day for like a month.
Something like that. I'm telling you.
You gotta at least wait a month before you take a sick
day. I know it, and yet that's how it goes. But due to international laws, we have to be right. A little more coherent, you know, yada, yada. So I'm just saying. No, so we hope Sarah's fun. She's a lot of fun, and we love having her on the show. Matter of fact, I'm very frightened because she has been talking with my wife. They've been messaging back and forth a lot over the past couple of weeks, and that's just scary. Because they text each other, they look at me, they snicker, and I'm just saying. So, no good can come from this. Also, I have to have a heavy sigh. Terrible weather all week. We have had the snow and the ice, and then it's just been windy and wet and rainy and cold and blech. So it's like Chicago. And just no chance to go geocaching this week.
It's actually been warm here. What are you talking about?
Is it really?
Well, I mean,
I did have the windows open today because it was almost 70 today. Today's the first day that things opened up, but it was just cold.
It was upper 30s here, but like this week's supposed to be. I mean, Saturday's supposed to be 58 degrees on Saturday.
Oh, really?
58 degrees.
Yeah, actually, you're going to be warmer than us. Cause I think.
Yeah, that's warmer than here.
Yeah, because I think it's supposed to be 47 and raining on Saturday. So, yuck.
How about that?
Yeah, it sucks. So, anyways, I think I'm about to get on, if I'm not already on Scott Burke's list. yes, I want to get geocaching. It just hasn't been pleasant at all. So that's how that goes. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking with it.
Why you haven't geocached?
Yeah, just having a chance.
Not worth that podcast, dude.
I know it.
The host geocache.
I know it, and I want to get out there.
Luckily, I went. So
okay, well, that's good. Tell us about yours.
I went out over the weekend, and I got my FTF 96 months in a row.
Yay! FTF.
4 months away.
Four more to go.
Four. See, when you get to four, now I'm panicking. Because it says, no, that's too. 4 months away.
Would that not suck?
Oh, that was what like 98?
Yeah, I mean, Shorty Nits would have to put one out just to make sure that you got it.
Yeah, right. You have to throw me a bone. Yeah. So, yeah, it was funny because thank you.
Yes.
One came out in between my kid's house and my house, and I was at my kid's house, and it was a weeknight. It was like, God, when was it? Tuesday night or last Tuesday or something like that. And, it came out, and I'm like, I got to go for it. Like, I got to run for it. And so I called Jesse.
Sorry,
like,
gotta go.
No, I left the kids and hadn't been found yet. So I'm like, I called Jesse. I'm like, I'm running for it. And so I call my buddy Cody. I call Aaron, Cody Dog, and I'm like, first I look where he is and find my friends. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have an iPhone, you could see where your buddies are.
Right.
See where he is to see if he wants to meet me. Where is he? He's freaking there. That's where he is. He's there.
It's like, don't find it.
So I call him up. I'm like, dude, where's the phone call? I'm like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't find it. I'm like, I'll be there literally in 10 minutes. He's like, so I got there, found it, got the FDF.
All right.
So, four more months.
Yeah.
Long 4 months.
And you're going to be so, after you're done with all this, and
I'm
it's like.
I'm so done at 100. So done. That's like, how many years is that?
Too many.
That's like 7 years, 7, 8 years.
Yeah. That's yes. a lot of FDFs.
So I did that. Then we went caching. So I went out caching over the weekend with Jesse and Cody, and we got a couple caches. I hid one.
Ooh.
And speaking of this topic tonight, I hid an FUI.
All right.
Yes, I did, but I can't give anything away. I will give you a hint and mm-hmm. say this. Actually, I can tell you what it is in the spring, but I'll give you a hint. You can only get it at a certain time of year. That's my hint.
See, there's too many.
So you already got your evil hide in for the year.
Yes.
Apparently, it's an evil hide, according to you, which we'll get into later.
Yes. And I actually.
It will not go live until spring.
Okay. Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah, because I actually was trying to think of what to put for the title for tonight's episode, and I really wanted to put FU hides, but debated to.
Well, they are, man.
They are. But I debated with evil geocache stories instead. Taz, how about yourself? Sounds like you're getting about the same kind of stuff we're having here in North Kakalaki.
Oh, yeah. The worst rains that Northern California has had in. Since 1987, according to the news.
Wow.
With some flash floods happening in various areas around me, and rock slides on I-80 up by Donner Pass, and so having a great time. And with that, some very high winds. Actually had a section of my fence got blown down.
Really?
Last week. So, yeah. So. Trying to get people out here to get that fixed. Need it to actually dry out first so that they can put new posts in and with concrete and everything. And then I managed to throw my back out last Wednesday morning. So I woke up and then my back's just like... And, you know, this is something that's been... going on and off for about 10 years. And this is the first time in probably 5 years I was at a point where I was like, oh, I need to go see the doctor about this and get some pills.
Well, so. We all get older, Chad, and things start falling off after a while. So I'm just saying.
Yes. So I didn't get out and go geocaching because of all those things.
Uh-huh. It's tough getting old.
Oh, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Speaking of being older, Mr. Burke's birthday is tomorrow.
It is. My birthday is tomorrow.
You're going to be what, 24, 25?
Right around there. I'm going to be an old man. No, 46.
46, man.
Creep it up on 50.
You're almost in the my club.
Oh,
couple more years.
The fact that I'm over halfway done with my 40s already is.
Well, you should start receiving, let's see, 46. You should start receiving your AARP cards. About now, those will be popping in, which is really good for free coffees at McDonald's, by the way. I'm just saying.
Are those that sort of 50? Isn't it 50 when
they Yeah, but they start throwing them to you early, just to make really? Sure you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
My wife's joining in April, so.
I will definitely take advantage of it. Don't think I won't. I'm a Jew. I'll take anything freebies you got. I'll throw at me. I'll take it. So really quick, I want to touch base on my Fisher Price Man travel book.
Oh, yeah, I saw.
That we talked a long time ago about.
Yeah, go for it.
I put this out with the intent to get it to England to go to Mark from OBEEP. And so far, it's sad somebody had it forever. It's still out there, shockingly. I put this out in March of 2016, so it's almost a year it's been out. It's traveled 6,000 miles. And it sat in Ohio for a while, and then this frog dog 10, so if anybody knows frog dog 10, shout out, he had it from 10/14 until 10/28. Oh, it's not too bad, 10/28. So now it's in Nevada.
All right.
And it was just picked up by Like a Clam, and he's heading east.
I was going to say, it's not heading towards Europe as much as you would like.
No, man. Come on, guys. Get that thing near a hotel.
Get it in an airport.
A hotel near an airport.
Yes.
Come on.
As long as it doesn't go to Germany, you've got a chance. If it goes to Germany,
it's going
to
be there forever.
That's where it disappears. That's,
it will move around Germany and it'll move around Germany more and never leave.
Yeah, Pete the Parrot's still partying over there. I'm just saying.
He's still in Germany?
Yeah, he's been there partying for whatever. He sends pictures every once in a while. I was like, ah. So he's a party animal. What can I say?
Yeah, he's heading east. I don't know where he's heading, but the other guy said he's like, oh, I grabbed it and I'm heading east.
Wow.
So. That's where he's currently in Nevada.
Excellent. Yes. Let's see. Sarah from New Zealand did put in. She said the weather bomb low has left us largely unscathed. I mean, they were having almost hurricane winds.
Oh yeah,
from out there. And we'll be back next week with stories of Goblin Forest, tree root climbs, and pylon tracks. Oh, and aching calf muscles. So she must have been out with the boys doing some hiking.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Goblin Forest. You know, I want to live in a cool place, a cool land where you can have, you know, we've just got the dreaded swamp.
Mount Doom and Goblin Forest.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Forest. Yeah, we just have the dreaded swamp. That's the best we can do. Anyways. Yeah, if you go over to, if you head from North Carolina up through Virginia in towards Maryland, you can, there's a whole section there called the Dreaded Swamp that you can go through. I've been dying to go there. I just, you know, it's one of those things. Reminds me of Labyrinth for the people that are old enough to know what Labyrinth was.
Nathan, do you want to wait in the... Andy 108 in the room in our chat room says I have a couple of TPs in Germany, and Germany's a sinkhole. See, so you're right.
Wow. Yep. There you go. <Mm-mm-mm>. All right. Let's
hope it doesn't go to Germany.
Gone. Let's see.
Pass it in. We will take your travel bugs,
and they will never return.
Give them to us.
The land of chocolate. Anyways, podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And here's going what's this week on GeoGearheads is episode 264, Geocaching and Education 1. All right.
They're just reaching now.
They're just reaching. Because I'm just saying, because they're usually in the hundreds somewhere for every subject that they talk about.
You're good for them for trying to think.
Yes. So Doc Firewoman returns to talk about some ways. Actually, that just doesn't – if she's returning to talk about it, why is it education one? Anyways, Doc Firewoman returns to talk about some ways geocaching can be used in education. We're just playing around. We love you guys. Let's see, Geo Snippets Reboot Podcast tomorrow on Thursday. We also have wife Amy and I will be talking about, because let's face it, folks, with the election stuff that's about to all come to a head, just saying, geocaching memes. We all need a good laugh, so we're going to go over a ton of really cool geocaching memes that we found and get a good chuckle out of those. So that'll be tomorrow on the Geo Snippets Reboot Podcast. Mm-hmm. All right. Finally, for you fine folks, please consider throwing a couple bucks each way to the Geocaching Podcast. We'd greatly appreciate it. If you go to geocachingpodcast.com and click on either the Patreon or the PayPal logos, it enables you to send us a financial donation so that you can help us keep the podcast going. We greatly appreciate it because, quite frankly, we need the money. I'm just saying. So if you can, send us a couple bucks each month. We would greatly appreciate it. All right, Taz, you got a couple things to talk about, so let me hit your bumper, sir. I'm just saying.
Wow, really?
Just saying. It's one of those nights. Here we go.
The news.
Introducing offline maps for premium members.
Cashing did it.
Okay. This is the geocaching app. We'll get to Cashly here in a minute. So, because your premium membership makes geocaching possible, and which my premium membership just expired last Sunday,
is this a Corey situation? Where we have to get.
It'll be taken care of.
I'm fund me to pay for my premium membership.
Wow, I wonder if Walter Cronkite started this way.
We wanted you to be the first to know about our newest and most requested feature, offline maps in the geocaching app. Mm-hmm. Finally. Right. With offline maps, you can navigate to geocaches without an internet connection, which I've been doing with CGeo for the past 7 years. Rather important for a game played in the great outdoors. Hey, here's how it works.
They really should have just quietly pushed this out. Going
it's like, heads by down, the way,
heads like a dog that's been caught pooping in the house. Pushed it out. Like,
we're
so sorry it took this long. We're so sorry.
It's one of those. Hey, look, there's on offline NAS. It's like they've been there forever, man. Everybody's where have you been? You.
Yeah. Sorry, continue.
I'm sorry. You can go ahead and tell us now, Jed.
Well, here's how it works. In case it's not intuitive for you. Step one: select a geocache list or create a new one. Step two: save the list for offline use.
Step three: download Cachely.
Get outdoors. Offline maps will be there to guide you to the next geocache on your list.
Unless it's not there.
So it does sound like it is pulling those maps offline automatically, which is kind of a nice to have. With CGO, you do have to download the states ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Not like that's all that difficult. So Nick has launched on Cachely.
Wait, hold on. So if you're on an iPhone, you got to be using Cachely. If not, shame on you. If you're on an Android, you're using CGO.
Right,
for the most part.
I would love to see the numbers that are on.
You'll never know.
Statistics.
The numbers being pulled for that. I mean.
I'd love to see the numbers for people who have found more than 20 caches
with that app.
And that's the statistics I want to know.
Right.
Sorry. Oh, go ahead.
Because if they haven't found more than 20 caches, then they don't count.
Right.
It's it's 3 for geocaching.com. Okay. And that's an official number. Just saying.
Go ahead.
So for Cachely, Nick has launched a GoFundMe to try to get Cachely set up for Android.
Thank you.
I'm not happy about this at all. You guys got your CGO. Shut up and be happy about it.
Hey,
we want it all.
We can have our cake and eat it too.
Yes. No, you can't. No.
Yes.
I gotta have. Nick? I'm not happy about this at all.
Have you seen me? I eat it too. I'm just saying.
Are you an Android device user and want to be able to use Cachely? Here's your chance. There's a link to www.gofundme.com/cachely-android.
Right.
That's cachely-android. And the links will also be in the show notes.
Yes.
I hope nobody spends any money on it.
I'm just saying.
I'm gonna do it just so that.
Oh, look at this. Sarah gave $25. Sarah gave $25.
Yes. I'm just saying.
Oh, Spittle. Spittle gave $25.
Yes, she did.
Cool.
Damn her.
So we'll see what happens. So, yeah, if you want to have an alternative to the geocaching app, you can consider... From the people that have it on iOS and how much they love it and adore it and use it all the time, to now have that made for Android. Mm-hmm. So, and by the way, Nick, if you need a beta tester, I'm here. I'm just saying, I'm here for
Nick,
you, buddy.
Shame on you for turning.
All right, so that was probably the roughest news that we've gone through in a while. So good stuff for that.
Thank you very much, Scott, for that. Sorry.
Yeah, so like I said, I wondered if Walter Cronkite started that way. We also have ways for you folks to get in touch with us with different news items or different things that you want to let us know about your geocaching world, or if you want to ask us some bizarre, strange questions that – will have difficulty asking and looking basically frustrated and embarrassed about, you can send that to us by sending your emails to gcpcmailbag, all one word, gcpcmailbag@gmail.com. And just send us some of your questions. We love the Ask a Host a Question, because that way we get to get put on the spot, and we love those kind of things. So send your information into us, and we'll get it up on the show. All righty, moving on to episode 483, 17 more episodes to go to the big 500, Evil Geocache Stories. And I thought it would be some decent fun. Scott did get to have a chance to vent the past couple of weeks, which is good, but I don't think it's enough. So I thought he could be get some extra therapy here talking about evil geocache stories. And you know what those are. Those are the ones where either geocaches that we've found that were evil. And like I said, I couldn't put it into the actual title, but Scott likes to refer to them as FU geocaches. And,
what does that stand for?
FU? Fudge. Fudge geocaches.
It's an FU high.
It's an FU high.
We've all seen them. The one where you look at it, you find it, and you go,
oh, you son of a gun. Yeah.
FU.
Yes.
Yep.
Just saying.
It's an FU high.
Yeah. So I thought we'd put a collection here of either ones that we have found or have created or want to create and just kind of go over some of your decent ones. Now, I'm going to start off the one that drove me, that I literally spent the most time standing in one spot doing this, trying to get a BB
through the puzzle
box.
Yeah,
you talking about the ball bearing maze?
Yeah. Yes, the one that's this was a box that was probably about 6 inches by 6 inches by 4 inches,
mm-hmm.
and you had to go sit through the entire labyrinth from one end mm-hmm. to the other mm-hmm. to get through it.
I love those. I've only done two. And one, I took out of the ammo box and I went back to my car because it was 32 degrees out, and it is, I solved it in the car. But yeah,
I did one waiting for a train in West Virginia.
Oh yeah, well, if you got something to wait.
I was trying to beat a train, and I'm going, oh, you got to be kidding me with this stupid goddamn thing. You hear?
Oh crap. Yeah.
I've gone to one where it was already broken. I'm so happy when thank you. Somebody before me was like, F this.
Yeah, I ended up, yes. And I've had it where
that's Scott's excuse for
I have never broken one, but I've come across many broken ones.
No, I love it where you get it and there's one little plastic wall between you, the bead and the exit, and it's like it's right there, which means you're about halfway through the whole puzzle. So it's like, son of a pup.
Yeah, those things are always, yeah. Oh. Yeah, those are just like, or like even the harder ones. I had one where you had to open the box. You had to figure out, like, it was just like, it was a wooden box.
Yeah, the monkey caches.
Is that one? You have to hold it a certain way and push or something like that.
Yeah.
Ridiculously stupid thing.
Yeah, monkey caches are usually PVC. And then not only do you have the key that's in that has to go through the labyrinth, they usually put an assortment of other goodies inside as well to drive you absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Well, so I think Scott's talking about the puzzle boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a puzzle. Yeah. It's kind of like built like.
You gotta have, you know, and some of them you have to slide open, but not all the way open.
Right.
It's yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Django for geeks. So
my ridiculous thing is the Nano in the Woods. Always just tick me off.
Those people get to go straight to hell.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
Nano in the Woods. I mean, seriously.
I enjoy a good Nano in the Woods, except for when the Nano is in the branch on the ground with many, many, many other fallen branches. And then it drives me batshit crazy.
Yeah.
I saw somebody had one. I mean, this is I didn't say it.
No,
I saw one in the middle of the woods. Somebody nailed a goddamn nail in an effing tree and put the Nano right on the nail head.
I did that.
Like, I mean, seriously, in the woods.
I've actually found one. We had six people straddling like a dog at a fire hydrant trying to find this thing. I got tired and bored and put my hand on the tree, and it touched the frickin' Nano. It's like, I found one
where someone had taken a aluminum can, smashed it down, glued bark on it, and screwed that into the tree. And if you swing that out, they drilled a hole into the tree and put the mantle there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
When it swung there, that, you know, it matched the bark perfectly.
Yeah.
And I just happened to catch it at the right angle with the sun, and I was like,
yeah, see, I have one actually near my boys, where it's somebody took a piece of bark off the tree, put magnets on the
yes,
bark, magneted the tree, cut a hole, put a nano in there, and then literally put the bark right back.
Yeah, so instead, like, of
you, really?
Oh, ours was worse, and Amy was the one that found it, which ticked me off even more. They not only did they have bark, but it was also covered, because the tree was covered in Spanish moss. So it covered it completely. I'm like six trees over, pulling my hair out of my head. She's over there going,
"The FU hide." Yes, that's just a really All right, Taz, what's yours? Give me one of yours.
Oh, fake rocks hidden in the field of rocks.
A special place in hell for people who do the fake rocks.
All right, seriously.
They love doing it out here, and they will take real rocks out of the field, and they will drill a hole down into it to put that.
Andy's showing us a picture. Everybody just give Andy the finger.
I won this in an event and have not used it yet. This is an actual rock. It weighs about 8 pounds, and they did exactly what you said. Drilled a hole in the bottom of it and put a cork.
Special place in hell. When you home, I know, and I know what Taz is talking about, like the big-ass rock piles.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I mean, out just here, we have fields of river rock, and someone will take one of the river rocks. So it's not like it's obvious.
It's not a black one in the sea of white.
Yeah,
like
right.
The same thing.
Yeah.
And just out of curiosity, Taz, how's that rated difficulty wise? Is it rated appropriately, or is it like a 2?
I've had them where they were not rated very high, and I've had them where they rated them around a 4, which I would give it a 4. And then one of them was a puzzle that was rated up either, I think it was a 4.5 or a 5, but it was like the puzzle was hard enough. So
then you got to go and sift through it a couple of
times. Yes. Real quick, I was in the woods with my daughter Amanda years ago when we were out geocaching, and same thing. We're looking, can't find it. All the obvious places were taken, and she said, "Dad, what's the hint?" And I sat there and I said, "It's," and I looked it up, and I go, "Oh, it's Gibraltar." And she said, "What's Gibraltar?" I said, "Well, it's a rock kind of like this." Picked it up, and she started laughing. Because it was the geocache. It's like, son of a gun. Yeah, drive you insane.
All right, what else you got, Andy? Back to you.
Well, okay, now this is how it is. I think that there should be, because nanos and bison tubes have their own cloaking devices. So I think when you put a nano in a pine tree or a bison tube in a pine tree, it should be an off color. Just so that you have a chance. But no, if you want an FU hide, you camo that sucker into the exact coloring of whatever you're putting in.
I've had the chrome red ones that you know, glare in the sunlight and stuff, and still like, where the hell is this thing?
Yeah, I've had people write back and go, "Andy, the damn thing was blue in a tree." I mean, you know, really?
Yeah.
So yes, anything like that, the bison tube nanos that are extremely well camouflaged, let alone turn them into a pine cone or something
if it's a pill container, I could usually find those pretty quick. Those stick out like sore thumbs to me.
Yeah.
But if it's a bison, I'll either find it in 5 minutes or it's taking me like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It's one or the other.
It's like I can hear the damn thing breathing.
They're laughing at you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I know the pain. Mm-hmm. We all know the pain. Yeah. All right. How about somebody who sticks a cache up an unclimbable tree?
Oh my God!
And you're in the woods. You don't have a freaking ladder with you. You're not Mowgli the Monkey Boy.
No. Not at 300 pounds. You're not.
That is everywhere here, and admittedly, I put out three of them.
See? Oh, I put out a couple. I'm not going to lie. I love to put out a few hides, so I put them out all the time. But like seeing that, you're just like, God damn it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, come and on,
if you see Tot, T-O-T-T, Tool of the Trade here, it basically means you better have an extension, either a ladder or an extension pole. I use a 18-foot golf ball retriever.
There you go. That's what you got to do.
Sure.
Yep. Now, the worst I get with that is taking either a bison tube or back then it used to be camouflaged 35-millimeter containers and take a pine tree that's young. And bend it over, tie it to the top of it, and yes, it's up 12 feet. Mm-hmm. Those are my favorites. I love that because nobody looks up.
Yeah, no. Oh, dude, I have a cashier called Definitely a Four. that's the cashier's name. I mean, why do you think it's called that?
Yeah. Jeez,
yeah, one of the times I was finding out, I can't remember the cashier's name, but the hint was it's a blah, blah, blah hide. And I didn't know the cashier because I was on, 60 miles away from my normal caching area, but I knew a couple of people that had found it. It's like, who the hell's blah, blah, blah? What type of hide is this? And it was like a 4.5, 4.5 difficulty train combo. And my friend Donna, she just started laughing at me. It's like, look up to the top of a tree that you can bend over. And it was about 25 feet up, a bison strapped to a top of a tree about 25 feet up, and I had to quite literally pull it down.
Mm-hmm. And the kicker is, though, as the years go by, those trees get harder to pull down. So,
as they get older, the trees grow up, too. Yeah.
Oh, God, true.
All right, Taz, I think it's to you, isn't it?
So this is one that's here local. It was a bottle cap hide under mulch in a high traffic area.
Oh,
with no fucking tent.
That's hang on.
I was when I found out that she had put it under the mulch. Yeah,
and no hint, Sandy.
And no hint. It was like, what the hell? You can't do that. It's like, well, technically, I didn't dig. And it's like, you're right.
Yeah, we do those. I've seen those hats. Try doing that with snow on the ground, dude.
Oh yeah, or especially like in Michigan or what have you. I mean, come on. Yeah. But yeah, those type of stuff is ridiculous. And matter of fact, I've got something here that I was showing that's my FU hide for this year.
Let me see what it is.
Yeah, I call it Sprig, and it's one of those little bloodletlet containers that has a pullover rubber top, mm-hmm. and it's got a little sprig glued to the top of it. And this is going to go in a corner of a brick wall somewhere.
It's just a brick move.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It reminds me of Corey. So, Corey, we're thinking of you, bud. Just saying.
See, that wouldn't work about 9 months out of the year here because everything's freaking dead.
It's the only green that's there.
Yeah, Chicago as well. You couldn't pull that hide off.
Well, it's all pine trees here, so we're good.
Well, all right, Andy, is that yours?
That's one of them. Go ahead.
Okay, mine is caches only, and I'm so guilty of this, and recently even, caches only retrievable in a certain climate.
Certain climate? Ice hides, yeah.
Yes. and I'm going to lead this into my story, because we all did this and we all gave a story, correct?
Yeah.
We all have a story?
Yeah.
So my story is, I had a hide, it just got archived because it's gone. We have the Fox River right by where I live. It's a big river, and a tree fell into the river. So a huge tree fell into the river. So the tree is sitting there in the river, and we went by there a couple of years ago, and it was all frozen. The river, it was a real cold winter, and the river was always frozen. The river never freezes, rarely. It's moving. So I walk out 30 feet onto that tree. And it's a huge, and I put a bison bink right on the tree, bink, there you go, and then I walk right back, and then I don't push it until almost summer.
Almost
summertime is when I push it. So, like, you can't get it in a boat because it's a river, and you can't stand up in a boat. Or what happens when you stand up in a boat?
Yeah, you tip.
I made it so you have to reach. It's a reach.
Oh,
So how did somebody get the FDF? Well, somebody tried for the FDF by climbing the tree, fell into the water. Yeah, tried to climb out to it and fell in.
But just dropped themselves to the tree and
let somebody. No, this is what two guys did. They sucked it up, right?
Yep.
Acted like men, got a ladder, walked into that goddamn river, climbed up the ladder, and got the FDF.
There you go. Got to do what you got to do.
They did what they had to do.
And freeze your giblets while you're doing it. Wow.
But and then whenever I check it, I could always like literally drive right by and be like, "Yep, still there." You know. Jeez. And finally, it went missing. I don't know. Like the branch of the cache had on it broke off.
Oh, all right.
Like I don't know what happened, but like, and I'm like, I'm not gonna deal with that. That was my total FU hide. Oh. Only get it during the winter, and during a super cold winter. It was like a special one. You know, it's like you had to wait till February, hopefully. You know. Mm-mm. Yeah. So when I say only retrievable in a certain climate, something like that. Like Chicago has those a lot where. Jessie has one where she has it on an island surrounded by water, and the water is a no boat water.
Oh.
So you can't boat to it.
You're swimming or you're not.
You can't swim, you can't boat. So what do you do?
Jetpack.
You have to wait till winter and you walk across the ice. So Jessie was just telling me, she's like, "Hey, my cache is getting hit." Like the one that never gets hit, you know, doesn't get hit 10 months out of the year, it doesn't get hit, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. So, mm-mm-mm. That's my FU hides.
Awesome.
Depending on the climate kind of caches.
Yeah. Taz, how about yourself?
A railroad spike on an abandoned track.
I love those.
Such an FU hide.
This one,
God bless them.
This one that I found, you know, it's like, what? It's like, I realized that it was abandoned, and it's like, okay, is this thing on the friggin' tracks? And I'm tugging on every friggin' mm-hmm. spike. And I tugged on this the first time, and I guess it had rained and settled and came back and everything. So I tugged on them a second time for real hard, and this one popped out. I looked at it for a second, I put it back, and it wasn't till about 30 minutes later that I circled back around and I pulled it out again and took a look at it, and I saw this very thin line about the middle of it. They had cut it in half. Drilled and tapped, and then put a thread insert in there, and then slipped the nano down inside.
Oh my god!
And it was very difficult to notice it.
Oh my god!
But, you know, it was evil, but it was also very cool.
Yeah, right, yeah. I've actually found the same thing where it was literally on the track. You know, in the track, and mm-hmm. you had to like sit there and just pull them out.
Yeah,
crazy. Yeah,
yeah. I've found ones like that too out of. The concrete stoppers in parking mm-hmm. lots.
Oh, parking. Yeah, those are
called. And have the barbs coming out.
Barb something.
Yeah, with the bison tubes. Mm-hmm. And they cut and put a little bit on top.
You hang it so you pick it up and it's hanging right there.
Yeah, those are awesome. Yeah.
Those are always fun when there's a car there. And it's not your car. You're like,
oh damn it.
And you're like, come on, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Couldn't you have parked one space over?
Something.
And it's like every other spot's empty, but that effing spot. Really, dude?
Oh, man. Another one that I get is any smaller size geocache hidden in a spot that literally has dozens of places it could be hidden.
Yeah.
That starts going into fun factor. How long do you put up with it before you just say F you and for another reason?
Yeah, you see. Oh, my favorite are the brick wall ones. You know, we talk about like the brick wall where it's a nano one, like the brick wall, or like, and you're like,
yes,
10,000 places to look.
And you're like, stone walls also.
Stone walls, yeah. Like, walls. I'm sorry, did I say bricks? Sorry, stone walls. Yeah, stone wall.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Oh, my God. The fun factor. It's like, it's one of those ones where I'll drive up and you'll look and you just know it's a rock hide or a wall hide. And you just look and just go, 5 minutes. I'm going to give it 5 minutes.
Well, that's also the same thing when you walk. You know, that's like you see a beautiful place. Would you ever walk to a cache and like literally 100 feet from it, you see this beautiful tree that's aching for a cache.
Yes.
And you walk, and they got this total shit high.
Yes.
And you're like,
yeah,
tree, a hundred, you, I can see the tree.
Yes.
This beautiful tree.
Yes. And they got some garbage hide someplace. And it's like, are you kidding me? Yeah.
That just makes me shake my head. It's not an FU hat, but it just literally just makes me shake my head.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, Andy, you're, yeah, those rock walls are.
Oh, God. Brutal. It's brutal. Just, and it's one of those things, if I'm in a really good mood and I'm after it, I'll give it a good, I mean, a half hour is not a problem when it goes into it.
Oh, I wouldn't give
unless
that a half hour.
It's no tedious. Way. If it's something that. Mm-hmm. I've got a logical think where they would have had it or how clever they've got with a hide. I'll spend all day looking for the darn thing. Mm-hmm. But if it's tedious, with especially when I see a bunch of pile of rocks, it's like, oh, no way.
Oh, totally. Yes.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the one guy, what was the one that they did here where they have out in the field, they dumped like $10 worth of pennies. All over the place, and then one of them had the log. You know, things like that.
Yeah, I've seen the hundreds of film canisters.
Oh yeah,
and, oh, I've done that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and then it wind up being taped on the friggin' bottom of the bucket.
You know, funny, that's Jesse's. Jesse has a cache like that in Bussy Woods, the infamous Bussy Woods. She has one in Bussy Woods, but it's Easter eggs.
Ah,
yeah.
It's like, you know, those eggs you have, you know,
eggs
you get. Yeah, the first thing I do when I come up upon one of those caches, I'll look underneath it.
Yep.
And that's a smart thing.
The other one was keys, having tons and tons of keys that were in there. I had one geocache that I put out years ago. Had a creepy story because this particular woods is just creepy when you walk through it, and I made a giant wind chime, which was about 3 foot by 3 foot, that was made out of PVC pipe. And then I had all these different bamboo poles that were coming and hanging off of it. So when the wind blew, it sounded, if you ever remember Robin Hood, you get that bamboo sounding mm-hmm. part with it. Mm-hmm. And had a couple of red herrings put into it and had people spend all day trying to figure out which one had the log in it. And if you follow the line that the wind chimes hang to, it was in the handle of the, you know, a little misdirection. I'm just saying, you got to have fun with stuff like that.
Andy, what's your story real quick?
Let's see. Oh, we were talking about fun factor. How many times is the most that you've DNF'd something before you actually found it? And what my I-85 overpass in northern North Kakalaki, where I used to work by Revlon up there, there was an overpass, and it was a I-85 standard two major side highway mm-hmm. interstate, and a walking bridge that went over it. There was a nano hidden on it. And I went after that thing for lunch hour after lunch hour after lunch hour. I would write to the guy who put it up there saying, can't find it. Is it there? And he would write back and come back, yeah, it's there. And went after it and went after it and went after it. Give me a hint. Give me something. Ugh. Because they're magnetic and could be anywhere. It's got the chain fence that goes all the way mm-hmm. up. It's got all of this. And went through, and after the 12th time
I
went back. Well, it was after a while it got personal. It's like, you son of a bitch, I'm gonna get all right, fine. I'm gonna get you. And I finally the kicker was, when I found it, it was right there. It wasn't like it was hidden. It was right there. And I'm like, dough factor.
Yeah.
Complete dough factor. So, yeah, that was the one that drove me the most crazy. For like most of a summer, I would keep going back every couple of weeks, and it's like, all right, it's got to be here. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine was also five DNFs. It was a cache called Spears in the Ground, and it was in a parking lot that had like, this part of the parking lot had about seven spaces and then guardrails going around it. So you got the guardrail options there. You got a couple trees there. You've got these guy wires to a big like 68 kV utility line. So you got, four massive guy wires over here, four massive guy wires over here. you know, plenty of places to hide it. And I went back lunch after lunch, and finally I took my son, and he found it in like 5 minutes.
Oh, I hate that. Yeah, I hate that.
Someone walks right up to it. You're like, you know.
Yeah, you go, you spend hours and hours and hours, and you come back the next day, and it's like they're glowing, going, hi, how's it going? Here. Oh, God.
I did that to somebody on the, I was on the other side. I actually, somebody couldn't find, it was a, in the woods, mm-hmm. this is in the woods, a stick on the ground with the cash in it.
Yeah.
In the woods.
Yeah.
I literally, he's, we're walking by because we're going to another cache. He's like, can we stop here? I've been here a couple of times. I couldn't find it. I'm like, yeah, we can give it 5 minutes. He's yeah. like, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Literally, first stick I picked up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, got it. He's like, you got to be kidding me. Like, literally, the first stick I picked up. But it's one of those. It's one of those. Either you find it or, like, yeah. you never find
you
it.
Never you never
know? Do. I get calls on it. Jesse has got a call on it, like, because I took Jesse out there years ago to, mm-hmm. to get the cache. Because it's right by Beverly. It's in the same woods. As Beverly's the oldest cache in Illinois. It's
right.
Like the third oldest cache in the world kind of thing. So it's right by it. It's like you go there, you know, you get it on the way. But most people DNF it on the way. It's one of those caches, you know. But yeah. yeah, literally walked right up to it, picked it up. First mm-hmm. thing I picked up.
Yeah. yeah.
So it does. I mean, sometimes God smiles on you and you're the one who picks it up. And sometimes you're not. You're the pissed off one because mm-hmm. you've been there for 4 hours another day.
Yeah. Sometimes you know. You're the dog. Sometimes you're the hydrant. That's and I'll tell you what.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of them depend, especially if they're metallic type geocaches. It takes like that. Chad had said before that glint of sun shines off yeah, of something. Sure. If you shake the tree, something mm-hmm. might show up, or just the right angle at the right time, something catches sure. your eye,
or your hand actually touches. It. I don't know how many I've yes. found, but my hand actually touching it.
Yeah, I think
well, that's one of the beauties of caching at night is that if you're in a pine tree and you got a flashlight and you do this,
oh yeah,
sometimes you know because if they don't. You know, if they don't tape the entire thing,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they'll leave just a little bit. Yeah, you get that little flicker. You're like, there you are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, too much fun. And that's not even the clever ones. I mean, a lot of these are just the...
These are just the FU hides.
FU hides.
We haven't even touched on them.
Yeah, because you get into the ones with the pine cones. I went through, I was in Michigan. And I was looking, and
cones,
yeah, and you used to the standard, you know, egg shaped type pine cones.
Mm-hmm.
The ones in Michigan are like cigars on some of the pine trees. They're long and thin, and I'm just saying, but they look like cigars. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking in this tree, and it's just this big, huge pine tree. And I'm looking, and I saw one little glint. Of what looked like white thread. Because what they did is they actually made a bunch, you know, because they grow in clumps. And so they actually used thread to put this together. And I just, out of the corner of my eye, saw just enough of the white thread to go, oh, that doesn't look right. And right. sure enough, that's what it was. But, it, I mean, there's so many different, you know, talented ways of doing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, yeah. I mean, I know somebody put one. I told, oh, God, it was, you know how like you have, I mean, at Lake Michigan, you guys don't have Lake Michigan, but like you have like, it's not, I would say it's not a dock. It's just like pieces of wood.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like trees, pieces of wood in the ground that go all the way out. Like a breaker, I guess, for lack of a better term,
yeah.
it might be.
Yeah.
Somebody put one at the end of a breaker.
Yeah.
So you're not going to go, you have to. Maneuver all the way out there to get the cash. That was a big FU hide because people fall in. I mean,
yeah, you know, it's amazing. Things. It's amazing, and mm-hmm. and people get more and more creative. And thank you for the headaches and the stress and the.
Oh, I don't complain about them. That's just what they're called. I'd be upset if we don't have them anymore.
Oh yeah, you know, yeah. That's the creativity that keeps you going.
It's just like I say. It's just one of those. Like, if you see a cache, we look at it and you go, oh F, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an FU hide.
And like Chad said, I lost count of how many times I've actually put my hand on the cache and either it moved. Yeah. Or I mean, my first bolt cache was like that. My first plate cache was like that. And it's
Did you get the lock ones? Have you seen those?
Yes.
The lock, those ones?
Yeah.
But like, oh, man, it's just crazy. Good for them. Hey, man, I like that stuff.
Yep. All right. Awesome. Good stuff. All right, anything else? I think we're pretty much set. All right, good stuff. All right, folks, thank you so much for stepping on by. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Geocaching Podcast. I think it's time to move on and start getting plans for your geocache that you want to go out and bring the creativity and the grief and the swearing and the
make people curse your name.
Yes, absolutely. And have them curse you and have them call you. And then after you tell them where it is, have them curse you more. I'm just saying, it's all part of the fun. All right, folks, good stuff. I think it is time to move on. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast. Right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production. It is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. The show is copyright 2017 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.